Welcome to the Hairdryer Treatment Podcast, powered by Kevin Grogan Soccer, Soccer Coffee, and much more. Welcome to the show this week. We're delighted to have Hugo Osorio in with us for an interview. Hugo is a psychologist in a kid's school. Mental health in youth sport is a massive, massive topic. Mental health in general in society is a big issue, and we need to talk about it more. We need to understand it more. And obviously, as coaches, we have an obligation to do an awareness campaign for parents, do an awareness campaign for the kids. It's okay to feel not okay, and it's important that we open up dialogue with our players to tell them to feel comfortable coming to us as coaches if they have any problems with anxiety, with depression, and whether they feel there's too much pressure on them in life, whether they're going through adolescence or whatever it might be. It's important we educate our parents on it as well, and it's just really important that we just talk more about it. So today is the start of a small campaign just to have a bit more awareness about it, and Hugo works in that field. So it was great to get him in. It was a short interview, but it's the start of a process where I'll get more and more people in to talk about mental health in youth sport, and we'll create a bit of an awareness campaign. So if you listen to this, please share it with people, and let's get a bit of a chat going about this topic. The Hairdryer Treatment Podcast is proudly sponsored by Rezl. Rezl is the market-leading, academically validated VR training and cognitive development tool for elite football, and is already installed at world-leading clubs. Rezl.com. Hugo, thank you for coming on the show. So you're a psychologist in school, which is very interesting. So just talk a bit about how you got into that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, growing up, you know, I played soccer, and I was always interested in the psychological aspect of the game, because it played such a critical role, and like I think a bigger role than we give it really credit for in the game today. And I come from a culture, you know, the Hispanic culture, Mexican culture, where you talk about it all the time. You play with, you know, hot feet and a cold head, trying to make sure that you drown out whatever you can and focus on the aspects of the game that you can control, right? So it was very interesting to me, always talking about the psychological part of anything that I'm incorporated in, soccer or sport or now academia. So I really wanted to work with students, work with families on that in different capacities, and this in schools allows me to do that. So I went to school and I was able to, you know, really focus on that and working with families in different capacities, and it gave me the opportunity to start coaching, and I coached through the high school program, you know, women's soccer, and seeing the differences even there between the women's game and the men's game. It's stark to see how coaches even perceive the sport, right? A lot of the coaches that I've worked with, they say, you know, coaching boys is great, but if you coach the girls, they'll run through walls for you, right? You only have to say things a certain amount of times. You have to say things a certain amount of way, because they take information in a certain way, and boys take in information in a certain way. And I've seen that too when I've worked with some of the guys that I've worked with, young ages, old ages. There's, you know, some differences there.
Right. Now, in terms of then studying, like, where did you go to college, and what was that process like to get qualified to do what you do?
So I started at I started actually down in Virginia as I was playing soccer at Virginia Commonwealth, and then I actually started out wanting to be a doctor, and then people explained to me more about the psychological aspects of just progression, right, from young youth to adulthood, and then I transferred to be closer to home to Albany, and I got more engrossed in the brain and learning about just development, human development, and that led me to psychology, and then I switched my major from the medical field over to psychology specifically, and then when I finished my undergrad, there was an opportunity to become a psychologist as an educational psychologist, more research-based. Okay. So looking at the impacts of different things, I was more focused on developmental disabilities and autism. But I didn't want to just work in research, so they offered me a path in psychology for school psychology, and that allowed me to work more with children and families and development.
Now, in terms of your kind of day-to-day work in that field, how does that relate to then what you do on the field? You're obviously a top young coach as well in the New York region. Is there similarities in terms of how you deal with different people from a work perspective to a coaching perspective?
Yeah, I think, you know, just in working with the kids that I work with every day, you have kids that learn in a variety of different ways. in academics and in the same way in sport, right? A lot of these kids learn not just with communicating and using language, you have to demonstrate this. So that it's the same thing in schools. You have to model. I do, you do, we do, right? So I'm going to demonstrate, then we're going to do it together, and then I'm going to correct, and then I'm going to support any player that can't do it that way and find a different way so that they can access the skill that we're trying to teach. So it's the same way that we teach, you know, how to read. You know, I'm going to teach you how to do this by modeling it. We're going to practice it. Wherever the weaknesses are, I'm going to fill in those gaps. And then that's how we're going to learn and build over time. It's the same concepts that I have, and I tell my families this all the time when I work in soccer. I don't care about wins and losses. I want development over time. So don't look at, oh, we scored 8 goals, we scored 9 goals, we won, we lost. Is your child getting better over time? And if they are, that's the goal. If they're having fun, that's the goal. That's really what we want to focus on. And I think as a culture, getting away from this winning mentality, because winning will come if you develop the player in the right way. And if we focus so much on winning, then a lot of players don't win. And I've seen a lot of coaches and a lot of players go down that path and not reach their full potential because we didn't structure it in the appropriate way.
Yeah, it's a great mentality to have. And then on the psychological aspect and parents, that's a totally unique dynamic over here because they're so involved. From a psychological point of view, is it that they just love their kids and want the best for them, or is there an element of them living their kind of life through their kids, and maybe just the things they didn't do in sport they want their kids to do? What is the psychology there?
I think it's a variety of different things, really, and it's more on a case-by-case basis, and it's very interesting depending on the parent that I'm talking to. I'll address it in a different way, right? So if there are parents who really know about the game, I'll talk to them a little bit differently than somebody who doesn't know as much about the game, but is still just as adamant about getting that development out of their child, and how we're going to reach that point together as a team. Because if I just say, here's what we're going to do and that's it, and they're not on board, it's not going to happen, right? But if I sell them on the dream and they buy into it, we always get further in terms of development of the child.
They feel part of the process.
Exactly, part of the process.
And the dream really is the development and production of the player, but also the person, correct?
Absolutely. I think that's where we really want to combine those, right, and make sure that they're not just becoming good athletes, but good people as well. So that's really part, I think, of our role as coaches, to kind of ingrain that within our coaching, to say, that's great that you're becoming a good player, but you also want to become a good person, a teammate, just accepting, you know, winning when you win, but also accepting the losses and being a gracious loser and understanding that that's just part of the process. Part of becoming a better person, a better player, is losing sometimes. We're not always going to win, but that helps us become better people.
Absolutely. And then one thing I'm very conscious of is the kind of mental health awareness and aspect of, particularly in youth sports players, I feel there's too much pressure on them to win or succeed, whatever that means. Is that something you've noticed? And how, as coaches, can we tackle that? Because we're not all qualified psychologists. Is it maybe an awareness campaign? Is that where it starts, that coaches are aware, to be aware when they might see a kid struggling mentally?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think communication is obviously key between parents and coaches. If there's something that the parent is seeing, and again, this is something that I see all the time in my work with children, parents will reach out and say, hey, I'm seeing this. This is a difference in my child. Do you notice it in the school setting? And, you know, they say the same thing. I'm seeing this type of communication, which is negative, whenever the player steps off the field. Are you seeing this on the field? And then I can observe it more. Because sometimes as a coach, I'm looking so much at the sports side of things that I don't see some of these negative things as closely as the parent might observe. So it's then I kind of am cognizant to look out for it. And I say, oh, wow, you know what? Nick did kind of make a negative comment, but we addressed it, we talked about it, and he said, you know what, I was thinking or feeling that way, and now I feel a lot better because we discussed it, and now I know how to overcome it. So I think the communication between the parents, between the players, becomes critically important, but also recognition on the part of the coach, because as coaches, we're always kind of looking at the sport aspect of it. Yeah. And we're not always attuned to that side of it. So it plays a more important role when the parents kind of bring it up to the coaches. And then we can work together to see how to solve the problem.
And is there, you've so much pressure on kids these days, academically and sports-wise, and, you know, there's bullying issues. There's all sorts going on, and mm-hmm. we've all been kids ourselves. It's right. Tough. Is it a case as well as coaches where sometimes we just talk to the kids as a group or individually and just say, if you're not feeling okay, it's okay? And to come and talk to us, to make them aware that it's okay to come and talk to them if they're having a tough time, whether that could be through depression or anxiety or bullying, whatever it might be. Is that good to open that dialogue with the players?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've definitely had multiple situations where parents have shared that with me. My son or my daughter is going through this at school and they're having a difficult time. So if we find that it would be more beneficial to speak individually, then that's definitely something I take. But usually just to bring awareness to the subject, I'll speak in general terms to the players. Hey, if you're having any issues with X, Y, or Z, make sure you come talk to me. Well, I'm just something that, you know, we could support in that process to make sure that if you have a problem or difficulty with a teammate, with whoever, we'll come up with a solution and work through it together. Because this should be somewhere that you're enjoying the moment, having fun in what we're doing, so that you're not thinking about something that's going to impact you in a negative way. And I think, that's always been really important for me, collaborating with parents and making sure that we do focus on that aspect of the game, because it really can impact a player, on the field. If they're preoccupied with something that's going on at school, or if they're really thinking about something that's making them anxious, It can impact them not only in their general life, but also in the game.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Hugo. I know you're in a rush, but I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
The Hairdryer Treatment Podcast is proudly sponsored by Rezl. Rezl is the market-leading, academically validated VR training and cognitive development tool for elite football and is already installed at world-leading clubs. Rezl.com.